الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to this beautiful series called The Blessed Seerah of Beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we discuss the lifestyle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which serves as a means for our inspiration, and inshallah it will show us the path and create this Islamic ethos in our life, inshallah. Let us begin with this beautiful hadith with regards to the virtues of reciting durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me in the world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah, in today's episode, we are going to be discussing the events that took place in the 5th year Hijri in the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we derive the life lessons from these events that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was faced with and how he overcame the obstacles on his path. It is mentioned that the news, now flashback to the events that unfolded in the 4th year after Hijrah, that the news of the losses that Muslims suffered at Uhud became widespread, and the daring schemes of the Kuffar of Quraysh and the Jewish tribes gave tremendous encouragement to the other Kuffar tribes of Arabia to attack Madinah Munawwara. As a result of this, many battles between the Muslims and disbelievers took place in the year 5 AH. Some of these ghazawat and saraya and battles are mentioned in the books of Seerah, and one of them being is the ghazwa Zatul Riqa, meaning the expedition of the rags. The first tribes to intend to attack Madinah Munawwara in this year were the tribes of Ammar and Salaba. Upon learning of their intentions, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam planned to surprise them before they could complete their preparations, and thus proceeded with an army of 400 companions on 10th Muharram to this place called Zat al-Riqa. As soon as the Kuffar heard the news of the advancing Muslim army, they fled to the mountains, and so no physical fighting took place. At that time, the Muslims were impoverished, so much so that Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala narrates that our riding animals were so few that 6 soldiers would take turns to ride a single camel. Allahu Akbar. Having to walk on the rocky terrain caused our feet to become badly bloodied, and that would cause bruises to the feet of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were with him there in this battle. And our toenails even got split. This is the statement of the Sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, who narrates the incident. And so what they did, he says, so we bandaged our feet with the pieces of cloth, meaning with the rags. And for this reason, this ghazwa, this expedition became known as Zat al-Riqa, meaning the expedition of the rags. Allahu Akbar. And this hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. And according to some historians, the stones of Zat al-Riqa were black and white, making the ground appear to be patched. And for this reason, the ghazwa was named Zat al-Riqa, the expedition of the rags. Other historians held that the battle was named after a well-known tree in the vicinity called Zat al-Riqa. It is quite possible that all of these are correct. The distinguished authority on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states that it was during the ghazwa Zat al-Riqa that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the prayer of fear, subhanallah, which is called Salat al-Khawf, for the first time. Meaning, it was during this expedition that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Salah of fear, meaning Salat al-Khawf for the first time. Allahu Akbar. After that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Medina. This was a little glimpse into the expedition of Zat al-Raqa. Now, in Rabiul Awwal Sharif, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know that a large army of the disbelievers had assembled and fortified town on the frontier of Hijaz and Sham to attack the Medina Munawwara. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marched to face them with an army of 1,000 companions. He appointed Sayyidina Siba ibn Urfuta as the governor of Medina Munawwara in his absence. Hearing of the Muslims approaching the polytheists, they fled the battlefield, leaving behind the animals which were appropriated by the companions as the spoils of war. Subhanallah. And this expedition was called Dumatul Jandal. Allahu Akbar. And this was the plot of the kuffar, that they never left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba in peace, although our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had departed and migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. They would still not leave him in peace. Allahu Akbar. This was their enmity against Islam and against the founder of Islam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never repay them with that same hatred. Allahu Akbar. Can we forget the way our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated the Makkans, the same Makkans who drove him out of his own homeland? And when he conquered the land of Makkah Mukarramah, the city of Makkah Mukarramah, he pardoned all those that had wronged him. Allahu Akbar. It is mentioned that after this Ghazwa Banu Mustaliq, that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were able to take 2,000 camels and 5,000 sheep as the spoils of war. Amongst those that were captured in the battle of Muraisiyah, if you remember, those people that were captured during the battle of Muraisiyah was Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of the leader of that tribe, Al-Haris ibn Abi Dirar. When the captives were distributed among the Muslim fighters as servants, Sayyida Juwayriya's lot fell to the Ansari companion Sayyidina Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She sought to ransom herself, but her captor, knowing that she was the daughter of the leader of Banu Mustaliq, demanded a high price which he thought her people were able to afford. Possessing no money to give to Sayyidina Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha approached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, I am the daughter of Haris ibn Abi Dirar, the chief of Banu Mustaliq, and I have embraced Islam, subhanallah. In exchange for my freedom, Thabit ibn Qais demands that I pay him a certain amount of money. Unfortunately, I possess nothing. Ya Rasulullah, I seek your help. I seek you to help me." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "What if I treat you in a manner better than that which you ask for?" Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha inquired as to what that would be. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "I wish to pay the ransom for your freedom and therefore marry you in order that your ancestral nobility is maintained." Subhanallah. Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha joyously accepted the proposal of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was to be her good fortune that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pay the ransom for freedom with his own wealth and marry her. Allahu Akbar. When news of the marriage spread amongst the Muslim soldiers, they all immediately freed any captives from the family of Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. In deference to the new status the captive had acquired in as in-laws of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, no individual from the family in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has married can be enslaved. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. This is how the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pay the regards to those that came in contact to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those that were relatives of those who came into contact with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Whatever is touched by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever comes in his contact, Allah becomes blessed. And the Sahaba knew the blessing of that. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala narrates that we know of no woman who brought as much good to her people as Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, as it was on account of her that 100 families of Banu Mustaliq were set free. Allahu Akbar. Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala, Ummul Mu'mineen, whose original name was Barrah, meaning pious. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed it to Juwayriya, subhanallah. This is the Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of believers, Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And after the Ghazwa, we just spoke about what happened after the Ghazwa of Banu Mustaliq. Another incident which relates to it is that after the expedition and the Ghazwa of Banu Mustaliq, whilst returning to Medina Munawwara, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pitched up camp en route, and Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala had been travelling in a veiled hawda. Specific individuals were given responsibility to load and unload the hawda from the camel. Shortly before the army set off for Madina Munawwara, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala left the campsite to answer the call of nature. On returning, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala noticed that the necklace she had been wearing was gone missing. So once again, she left the campsite in search of it. By the time she had returned from searching for that necklace, the army had left the camp. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala was not in the hawda at the time when it was loaded onto the camel. This went unnoticed because the curtains of the hawda were drawn. When Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala returned from searching, she found the entire campsite empty, and as a result became very afraid. It was unsafe to travel alone during the night. She concluded that the army would certainly notice her absence in their next stop and return for her. So she lay on the ground and fell asleep. Sayyidina Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal As-Salami radiallahu ta'ala would follow the Muslim army to collect any items that had fallen from the caravan or left behind. Upon reaching Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, thinking that she had passed away, he exclaimed, he didn't know that she was just sleeping. He didn't know. And he exclaimed, he thought that she had passed away, and he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah, and indeed, to Him we shall return. When he read that, thinking that she had passed away, when she heard his words, it had awakened her and she woke up. He immediately let Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala ride his camel while holding its reins, and they proceeded to where the Muslim army had stopped. The leader of Munafiqun, Abdullah ibn Ubay, used this incident to falsely accuse Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Then she came to know about this rumor later on, that it was spreading to the ears of people, and it intensely hurt her feelings, and she began to cry. And she was grieving, and it caused her illness to even worsen. Allahu Akbar. No longer being able to bear the grief, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala went to her mother's home, and being granted permission by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she related this incident and mentioned the rumors that had been circulating. Her mother tried to her best to console Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala without any joy. At that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the house and said, "O Aisha, regarding the rumor being spread about you, if you are innocent, then Allah Azza wa Jal will surely announce your innocence and through revelation He will announce it, subhanallah. But if you are guilty, then pray to Allah for forgiveness and run to Him in repentance. As a person who asks Allah for forgiveness shall surely be forgiven by Him." Hearing this, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala stopped crying. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala then replied herself, saying, "Regarding the evil rumor that has spread about me, which certain people also believe to be true, if I declare myself to be innocent and Allah knows that I am, people will not believe me. If I were to agree with what the people are saying and accept it as true, even though Allah Azza wa Jal knows that I am completely innocent, they shall believe it to be true. So my matter is like that of the father of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. I shall thus only say what he said." And he said, "Therefore patience is better, and from Allah only I seek help against the matters that you relate." It is mentioned in Surah Yusuf, verse number 18. Subhanallah. Saying this, she turned her face away and said, "Allah knows that I am innocent, and I know that Allah shall surely send down revelation in my acquittal." Subhanallah. In her innocence, Allahu Akbar. Immediately following this answer, and even before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or others had moved the slightest, revelation came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and its signs were visibly manifest on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In spite of the cold weather, his blessed forehead began to perspire. And then the state that overcame him ceased. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and said, "O Aisha, show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal and praise Him, for He has declared your innocence and chastity and has absolved you." Subhanallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recited this ayah of the Holy Quran, the 10 verses that were revealed in Surah Nur. Subhanallah. And these verses, they confirm the innocence of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah. Such was the state of the mother of believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses in the Holy Quran about her innocence. Subhanallah. Now this is just one of the incidents that took place in the year 5th Hijri. There are many other incidents that took place. The time is short, dear viewers. Inshallah, some other time we would like to include other parts and other events that took place in the year 5th Hijri. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you may watch other programs airing on Madani channel, and inshallah definitely some of our Muballighs, alhamdulillah, some of our Madani brothers will definitely shed some light on different other events that took place in this first year AH. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, it is the mission of Dawat Islami to inculcate their love into the hearts of people, subhanallah, as it has been the mission of the Buzurgan Deen, subhanallah, and it is the mission of this fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah, Yo Dawat Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, inshallah. Please keep watching Madani channel, and inshallah, we'll see you again soon in the next episode, where we will discuss, inshallah, the events that took in the next year, Hijri, meaning the sixth year after Hijrah. Subhanallah. So, until then, be good and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Increase our love to the Prophet.